it's not a mystery.
Hello?
Hey, Brian Bendis. How you doing? Welcome to the 24-Hour Comic Podcast. How you been?
Why are you doing this?
Why not?
Because it's there.
We have nothing else to do.
Yeah, it's really
are you, like, raising money? Charity
we're raising children. I mean, I guess you could say in the abstract sense we are
kind of
raising money.
Yes, donate to Hero right now.
No, it's a free comic podcast. It's a long story, but it's a pleasure to talk to you.
Use a couple of bucks.
You got Mike Norton here.
I'm Mike Norton.
Hi.
Chris Niesman, Brian Salazar, Tom Caters from Around Comics.
Hi, guys.
The lovely Hello. Chris Crank Hello. From Devil's Due, and yours truly, your chronicler of the Bendis tapes.
As crazy as we are for doing the 24-hour podcast, we actually have a guy here doing a 24-hour comic book, even though it's not 24-hour comic book day.
Yeah, Chris Burnham is like doing an absentee ballot for the 24-hour comic book and is doing it while we're doing it.
Yeah, I have a question about all this.
Please.
Yeah.
Why are you doing this?
Dude, you're going to have to ask Chris Crank.
It's like we're masochists.
I knew you'd be up. So I basically that's why we're calling
so
you.
So you thought that our 3-4 hour podcast that we do weren't quite annoying enough?
No.
Is that what this is?
It's a different venue, my son.
I like on your guys' podcast where it gets towards the end where it becomes sort of a fever dream where all the questions sort of meld together into one.
Norton's at
and
that.
I think. And I start to doubt my own mind about whether or
your
not
own
I've
sanity.
Heard. I'm like, I heard this question, I think. And then you say, I think you heard this question.
I'm like livid at the end of those things. Like when we're at like question 128, I'm always like ready to kill somebody. And I think Brian.
How many hours have you done this so far?
This is our.
This is not, the 17th no, this hour.
Hour 17.
This is the 17th hour.
Oh, really? This is the 17th hour?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
So congratulations.
Home stretch.
Only one work day to go.
Yeah.
Hey, man, did you, how's Halo 3? How's it been? Have you been playing it?
Halo 3 is lovely. I was just playing just moments ago with, I'm going to name drop. Get ready for the basket. I got names to drop.
Go right ahead.
Me and Fraction and Brubaker and Jeff Johns and Brian Reed.
That's no fair.
And other dudes, we were doing everything but writing our comic.
Attaboy. You know, Kirkman, I just talked to him, and he said he was happy to join the group until he realized you guys are playing at, like, 3 o'clock in the morning his time. So he's like, yeah, I don't know if that's going to work.
He can go put on his dress and go wash his vagina, and we'll call him if we have an opening.
Damn.
There he comes. He brings the blue. That's why I wanted to talk to Bendis at 2 o'clock in the morning. That's good.
Oh, I'm sorry, his zombie vagina.
There you go. Exactly. Thank you.
Variant zombie.
Good clarification.
Yeah, there's Variant Zombie Vagina by Arthur Studium.
Oh, man.
What have we learned about ourselves in the last 17 hours?
I'm too fucking old for this.
The Danny Glover philosophy of life, basically, in Lethal Weapon 3.
Dude, I'm going to retire tomorrow. I just got to live
two days.
Today.
2 days to retirement.
At what hour did you realize this was a better idea in theory?
hour 0.5.
Okay.
See, I took a lengthy break, Brian. That's why I figured I'd come back and I'd be at least recharged by the time.
Pussed out is what you did.
Hey, man, I'm fresher as a daisy than you gentlemen who've like our.
Have you slept at all? Have you taken a little nap?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
I haven't. I've been
nope.
Awake.
I have.
I'm living on Red Bull and beef jerky.
Hey,
enough about us. What?
No. I'm. Have you at one point? Confuse adrenaline for sexual feelings towards each other?
Well, it's not been spoken out loud, but...
Okay. I don't know what kind of 24-hour podcast you're used to, buddy. But
not just the sexiest man in a bowling
shirt. The cocaine and strippers kind of quelled that for a while.
So. You guys find yourself like giving each other side looks during this Sean McKeever interview?
Longing? Yeah. Just Norton.
Yeah, like confusing feelings towards each other.
Just Norton.
The goodbye hugs are starting to linger a bit.
Not at all.
Also, John's got the deep voice.
Yeah.
It kind of rattles you. I understand.
I got the probe.
I'm just saying, don't be ashamed of it.
I'm not
you guys want to end this with, like, some kind of, you know, sexual thing on the air. I think you guys, for people who have committed to listening to this, and, you know that's nobody, but... Those who have, you really should give them something at the end.
Well, that does bring up the point, Brian. Who's more the fool, us for doing it, or those who are listening to it?
us.
Nobody's listening to this.
Yeah. What are you talking about?
The last comment I said I saw online on our own forum was like, "Oh yeah, hour two is great. I'll check in next week."
Exactly.
Is
this being broadcast live or is this being taped for broadcast?
It's an hour delay.
Brian, I don't even understand it either.
Yeah, you can go to the website, 24hourcomicspodcast.com.
Comic.
Yeah. Comic. Well, it's also on iTunes.
Comics is a porn site. 24-hour comics.
And they're going up 1 hour after we record them, so we've got 15 of the 16 hours posted.
Okay, and you guys can hear me clearly?
You sound great.
Yeah,
you
sound great.
Okay, because I'm getting a little kind of weird metallic thing with you guys, but I can hear. I just want to make sure.
Okay. Well, I apologize for the headache.
You sound fantastic.
No problem.
I wanted to know what was in the DVD bag lately. What have you been getting? What's cool?
Say it again. I can hear it, man.
What have you watched lately on DVD? I know you always have, like, cool things that you end up buying. So what's the
Well, place? I enjoyed my knocked-up double-disc DVD with the outstanding extras.
Good commentary on that?
Excellent commentary. You know, cool. not like film school commentary, but fun nonetheless, but... A great documentaries and fake documentaries, and just they put a lot of work into it, and it's a really an excellent DVD.
That's cool.
And I'm halfway through this movie called The TV Set by Jake Kasdan. It's very good.
Duchovny's in that film. I heard a lot of good things about that
movie. Yeah, he's good in it. It's his best movie role.
Good satire about the TV business, I guess.
Yes.
Very cool. I heard Elvis Mitchell talking about that with Kasdan, I believe.
Sal was telling me about...
Dropping Elvis Mitchell.
Talking to Duchovny, Sal was telling me about the new show that he's got
Californication.
On.
Californication.
Okay.
I hear it's good. I will get to it. It's on my on-demand.
It's about
on my list of things. As soon as I'm done with the Skrulls, I'll get right to it.
It's about a drunken, deprived, sort of dried-up writer who can't
yeah, but I know a lot of guys like that. So it's not how I want to spend my free time.
Hey, you got to jump on the television season because you've got your pals that kind of gave you all the screeners of all the pilots of the ones that you saw. Which ones are you sticking with so far?
Well, you know, as predicted, The Reaper without Kevin Smith wasn't much of anything.
Felt the same way, man.
Yeah, I mean, Kevin did such an amazing job on that pilot, and then you watch the second episode, and you're like, yeah, this is why I don't watch television. I mean, there's nothing wrong with it. It's not, like, offensive. Just what didn't have that spark of magic.
No, I was with you.
It would have been better if it was offensive.
But 30 Rock was amazing last night.
Very funny. I like
unbelievably funny.
Yep.
Just sparkling writing. And I can't think of anything else. Deadwood's awesome.
Pushing Daisies was awesome.
Now, Pushing Daisies, see, I think what we saw this season, and it'll be interesting to see if we see it in the future, but we saw a lot of pilots that were outstanding pieces of film on their own.
Yes.
But they weren't the introduction to a series. Like, they had nowhere to go, you know? And I'm worried about Pushing Daisies being able to keep up what they did in that pilot.
Yeah, it looked like it would be a great movie. I don't know how long. We were talking earlier today about British TV, about how they seem to have a good feel of when a story has been told.
And Wrap it up, absolutely.
And,
yep.
And this
six episodes, so be it.
Yeah, exactly.
Or four episodes. That Murphy's Law, James Nesbitt, after he did Jekyll, has this 3 hours Murphy's Law, and that's it for the season, just a 3 hour story.
Boom.
Yeah, so, I agree with you.
You know, and I guess this is nothing new because I have been watching these videos on the Emmys website, and they're great oral histories of all these great television people. And it was either Bill Persky or Sam Denoff, the Dick Van Dyke writers that created That Girl. They were even saying in the 70s they would direct pilots and are like, we do our best job and really, you know, make a silk purse out of a sow's ear, and the rest of the season sucked. And we almost were fooling the networks buying our pilots because they were so well made, and the directors and writers they got that would follow would suck.
So well, you know what book I'm halfway through, John, that I think you would love?
What's
it's a book called The Billion Dollar Kiss. And it's by, I can't remember the writer's name, the book's upstairs by the bed, not to plant that image in your head. But
is it fiction?
It's by this very famous television writer, and it's just his chronicle of amazing television stories. I think you'd really, really like it.
I'll look for it. Billion Dollar Kiss.
And the book's title is The Billion Dollar Kiss was was that the Dawson's Creek there? That Dawson's Creek, they the show after two seasons was the most popular thing in the world, and then all of a sudden everyone hated it, and it was almost off the air in the third season after being like this phenom, and they couldn't figure out what was wrong with it, and they had all these, like, they hired these huge writers for millions of dollars to try to fix the show, and they were just sitting there, and no one was fixing it. And then this kid who was being paid nothing said, like, Dawson should, Pacey should kiss Dawson or something, you know? and literally that show, that kiss kept the show on the air for however long it lasted. It made Sony $1 billion.
Some janitor walked by and was like,
no, he literally was like an intern.
That's awesome.
You know? And he said, like Dawson's best friend should kiss Pacey. I've never seen the show, so I don't know.
I'm assuming you're meaning like Katie Holmes as opposed to Pacey kissing Dawson.
And that would have
been the first homosexual kiss, which I think would have been very interesting.
That would have drawn us.
Yeah, but all the writers started yelling at him, like, no, that's a terrible idea. It'll start a triangle, and they'll never be able to get out of it, and blah, blah, blah. And then, you know, 2 minutes later, they go, oh, no, that's exactly what we should do.
Brilliance.
Yeah, and it's funny because I kind of saw it as, you know, when we're doing our mini writer's room at Marvel, and mm-hmm. every once in a while someone will throw out an idea, and, like, Bucky's back. No, that's a terrible idea. And then, you know, it's not a terrible idea. It's exactly the right idea at the right time.
Or Miller saying, hey, Marvel Zombies, and suddenly 2 days later it's a fucking brilliant idea, and you guys are ready to do
it. Yeah, no, I'm saying it almost like a joke, and then it being this, cash cow, absolutely.
Everyone's sitting in their room at night thinking about it.
So how far are you, speaking of events, your events coming up, how far are you into Ultimate Origin and the Skrull Invasion?
Well, Ultimate Origin, I was very close to, like, I had like 1.5 issues left to go, and then it got bumped off the schedule, even though it's been solicited, because the material, it's backing up. This material that's coming after it by Jeff Loeb will not be ready until like late next year. So they decided not to stockpile a bunch of stuff at the same time. So Ultimate Origin is not coming out till like late next summer, believe it or not. So I'm going to not touch it for a while and come back to it, even though like 3 issues are drawn already. It's weird.
That's wild. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I know. It's weird. Like, it's all on time, and it all looks great, and I'm very, very proud of it. And then they called me up and said, we have a... We got a scheduling conundrum here, and we don't know what to do. And I was like, bump it, but we got to bump it till after Skrulls, because I can't have it come out at the same time as Skrulls.
Sure.
And so, you know, there you go.
There you go. Well, what about...
It'll be nice when it comes out. They were right. It is supporting other material, and that other material just won't be ready, so you don't want it just to float out there.
Well, everyone always was curious when... you do a live interview, what you're currently writing. So of your
I'm wrapping up the second issue of Secret Invasion.
Okay.
Much like House of M and Civil War, these are much harder to write and take much longer to write than a normal issue.
Okay.
But I have my ducks in a row in a big way, so I'm getting that done. And I'm about right under it on the two Avengers books. Like, I'm right, like, whatever issue... I'm writing them all at the same time, so I'm writing them chronologically.
Okay.
Yeah, so.
Now, you know, have they announced who's replacing Cho on
Bagley's going to do the next arc, so that'll carry us into the year 2009, the way Cho's finishing up the 6th issue.
Okay.
And I love Cho. I'm like, come on. Finish it!
Bagley will have his issues done before Cho
has Bagley has, no joke, Bagley has the entire arc done.
Yeah.
I don't mean to embarrass Cho or anything like that.
No.
But Bagley, he's like done. So we're actually, me and Bagley are actually working on our next project. Like, we're done with Mighty Avengers. So they haven't announced who the new artist is, but it is someone surprising, not someone... people will expect. I'm actually kind of excited to see the reaction to it.
You've decided to go back and start drawing again?
Pardon?
You've decided to go back and start drawing again?
I don't know about that.
So Frank is going to do the annuals with me. We're going to go right to Mighty Avengers Annual Number 1.
Very cool.
And it will be an all-female Avengers cast fighting female villains.
Sweet. Nice. Excellent. I want a big pillow fight. I think that'll be great.
It's called Pillow Fight.
Sweet.
No, like, that was the first draft. I'm looking at it right now. The new title is Hairbrush Incident.
I like
it. So.
Can we get some oil or pudding in there, maybe?
Yeah.
Somehow they write a female Quinjet.
I'll throw one at you. So, you know, we got the new Avengers Annuals coming out. That's coming out, like, in January. And then issue 38 will be a very special issue that focuses on Jessica Jones and Luke Cage called The Breakup. And it is drawn by Michael Gatiss.
Oh, that's awesome, man. Good.
Yeah, very excited about it. Well, I don't want to ruin it for you. I don't want to tell you what happened.
Well, I hate the title because I love that couple. They're a lot of fun.
Well, it's a very stressful time.
Yes,
in
indeed.
A young couple's life.
Sometimes people drift apart, Chris.
Hey, Lanil is Lanil's hitting it out of the park on New Avengers, man. I like it. I like the scratchy style. I think it's a very distinct look, and I.
No, I love him, and no, I mean literally, he's like going right to Secret Invasion, and I don't plan on letting him go afterwards. So, Secret Invasion is being written to be his artistic tour de force. Like it is just chock filled with stuff that he can do. This very well could be his finest moment in comics, you know, if all goes according to plan.
Excellent.
So, yeah, I'm with you, and I love him.
Hey, Brian, I wanted to ask you about Ultimate Spider-Man with Stuart Immonen. Is that how you pronounce
it? Yes.
The issues with it, I'm a huge fan of his work, and I just
think me too.
It's just awesome on that book. But for you, you know, you obviously had, you know, the huge run with Mark. Having Stuart come on, has there been any sort of almost like recharge for you on that book or anything, or just,
you know what, I guess there is, even though every issue feels like a recharge, like every issue, like it never feels like, oh, another issue. Every issue is a very emotional and exciting endeavor, you know. But no, with Stuart, it's like I'm such a huge fan of his, and it's such a big deal that he's doing it, that you want to make sure that, much like I felt with Bagley for the last 50 issues, like, I didn't want Bagley to quit, so I would try to write, like, so well that he would have to want to draw. Like, he would never want read and go, ugh, I don't want to do this. So I'm like, writing to impress him, to try to get him to stay, and he's the pages, and he adds in, like, a page a day, so every day there's a great page from him, and that's like the best. It's so exciting. So, yeah, no, it's really been a dream come true. And, you know, sometimes you pick and you got the best intentions and it just doesn't work out. But in this instance, it's maybe one of the best decisions that's ever been made in my whole careery thing here to follow Mark. It's been amazing.
Yeah, it has been really good. So.
Yeah, he really is something. And I'm trying to let him know that whatever he wants to do, we'll do. You know what I mean? Like, let me know. Like, I've thrown a lot of ideas at him that I thought would be cool for him, but whatever he wants to draw, it let me know, and we'll write it for you, you know?
That's great.
Everything's really coming up Bendis.
See, you're just drunk and tired and I'm boring you. But I'll tell you what's coming up with Stuart is we got Spider-Man and his amazing friends, Firestar and Iceman.
Yes.
Nice.
We're doing that, and I got permission. I can't say which one. But I got legal permission to ultimatize villains from the 1967 Spider-Man cartoon that have never appeared in a comic book.
Very cool.
There's like 10 villains that appeared in that show.
Go to Wikipedia.
Yeah, you got people scrambling.
Go to Wikipedia. They're all there.
Skyboy making his triumphant return. I love Skyboy, of course.
they're awesome, and I got permission to pull those out. So.
You know, I'll tell you, man, that the Bashkee series and also the original Marvel superhero series, I understand why people shit on them. But I'm telling you, man, you got to understand, back then, Brian, that's all we had. And I loved those shows. I really did. Me too.
I got them there on the DVD here. I'm a big fan. I had this, like, brain fart to pull out a couple of those and dust them off. And I was pleasantly surprised there was no legal wrangling that needed to be done. Because sometimes you come up with ideas like this, like, yeah, like every 3 months I want to use Rom Space Knight for something, but you can't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some 80-year-old guy owned the rights to all 10 characters. some hidden Rom? Somewhere in the country.
Rom? I don't know. Yeah, isn't it Kenner or whatever?
Well, it's all those old animation characters. Oh, yeah. Somebody always odd is always ending up with...
It's always someone weird, and someone for some reason hates comic books. But it's not the case here.
Who doesn't want the characters to be used for whatever inexplicable reason?
There is that crazy Rom cult, just like any character. Really,
oh, I loved Rom.
Is there no way that they can do redesign and ultimize Space Knights in any way?
I know that it's like Micronauts. There's certain characters that are available that were created at Marvel that you could you can use Bug and Marionette.
Okay.
But other characters you can't use.
Sure.
So, I don't know exactly, but I did originally want it to be Halo versus Rom, but I couldn't get that going.
Well, one of your other series that I've been a long time fan of is Powers. How's work going on that series? And you and Mr. Oming still rolling along on it?
Oh yeah, no. You know what? The bump in the road was, and Mark is Mark. Mike has said this publicly. The bump in the road was some personal issues he was having that he's long since gotten past. So he's very dedicated to getting Powers out on the monthly schedule for the rest of the year, and I honestly couldn't be happier about it. So yeah, he's back, baby.
That's cool. And is Jen editing the book now, or is CB still editing it?
No, CB is the editor of the book. Jen is helping out as a comic nerd and the Uber Powers fan from years before we'd even met her, but she's just helped us get past. We had some production bumps that weren't our fault, but nonetheless our fault because it's our book, and she helped us pass them. So, like next week, the Powers trade's coming out. It's been delayed. Powers trade, new issue of Powers next week, new format, more pages.
Attaboy.
So. Any word on the second hardcover?
Second hardcover being solicited for November, already in production, and will be out for Christmas, along with a new printing of the first hardcover, which is sold out.
Very nice.
So God bless all of you.
Buy it. It's the holiday season.
We actually printed. We thought would keep it. It would be enough for a couple years. Like we actually invested into it, and it breathed through in a year. So we were pretty excited about
it. It was beautiful, man. I loved it.
Is the Marvel Knights?
I love them too. I love buying them from other people, so I couldn't wait to get them out for Powers,
Yeah.
Is the Marvel Knights Ultimate Spider-Man arc, is that in hardcover yet?
No. It's weird how they're doing those premiere hardcovers. They're doing, they're picking special storylines, doing premieres, and then they're doing... it's out in soft cover, and I guess they're still coming out in those oversized hardcovers. I'm not exactly sure.
It's really fucking with people's bookshelves.
Well, I want that, man. I need that. You immortalized me. I got to get the hardback of that.
Yeah. Now you mentioned the format change. What's how many pages the single issue is going to be, and what are you guys throwing in there?
Yeah, it's the Powers since issue 25 is now a 40-page book, which means it's about 35 pages of story and art. Fuck more, but it's on better paper and better cover stock. We needed more pages per issue. We were just always struggling to get all the stuff in there that we wanted to get in there.
Sure.
And so we bumped it up, and it was about time for a price increase, but I hate doing that for no reason. That always kind of annoys me. But so it kind of met you guys halfway and give you more for the price bump. And what we really needed was more story pages, and now we get them.
Strike a hard bargain.
Yeah, you know what? It's weird. Like, there's a lot of indie books that are just seen by the people who are buying them, and the retailers who buy them is more prestige, just the purchase of them, just because of the schedule or whatever. So we thought we'd match the format of that for Powers. Like Powers is seen that way, so we kind of created a format that isn't unlike the Civil War issues, but thicker, that kind of matched how it was being perceived. So,
very cool.
Cool. With all your Avengers stuff that you've been doing, I kind of wanted to pick your brain. What character that you're doing in either of the Avengers titles are you having a lot more fun than you thought that you would? If there's a character,
that's a good question. There's always a character when I was on Ultimate X-Men. Like a Storm, like Aurora, that's not a character I ever gave that much thought to, as a fan. And then when I started writing her, I'm like, I love writing her. Like, I was, like, surprised how, like, I wanted to write her in the, like, as the foreground character in every scene. So, and for here, it's probably Ares. Ares is a lot of fun to write, because even with the thought plumes, you get to write this guy who says exactly what he thinks and is just a douchebag about it. But he's not wrong what he's saying. He's just saying it as douchebaggy as possibly fit. So, you know, and it's like the, as close to the opposite of me as there is a Greek god of war.
You enjoying the writing device of using thought balloons again, Bri? You're like the guy that kind of...
Yeah, you know what? There's always that wrestle about how many is too many, and one too many might as well be 100 too many, you know?
Yeah.
So you got to make it perfect. But, yeah, I enjoy it immensely. Because it's also, there's also in the thought balloons a lot of clues to the Skrull thing.
Yeah.
Now people know about it. They can kind of read there and see if they're picking any shit up. But it's funny how, like, someone has a dark thought. It really upset some people online. It really, I forget what it was, but someone was so angry at Hank Pym for creating Ultron. He said, "Jesus, kill yourself in a thought balloon." And someone goes, "That's a horrible," you know, and it's just a fleeting thought, but you know, just sends people insane. It's amazing.
Yes.
Well, do you mean people on the internet got upset about something?
Why? Well, yeah, it's amazing. What? It's amazing.
Unpredictable what people will react to.
Well,
I was actually very worried because for the first time since literally I started opening Spider-Man, Newsarama got behind something of mine, which is that when they announced the Skrull stuff, people generally seem to be into it, and I'm like, uh-oh. Oh,
you got the family down at the shelter as quickly as possible.
I literally said to Jim McCann, who like does publicity at Marvel,
oh, yeah.
I said, are they fucking with me? I was confused by the positive reaction. I've never had it before. It was weird. Usually, the better the book is doing, the more I should go to hell and die and put on a Hawkeye costume and shove something on my ass, whatever. But am I not allowed to swear?
You can say anything you want, Brian. Right? Still,
go for
fuck
it.
No. Usual rules. Anything goes. Man.
It's
nighttime. No
swear.
Yeah, we threw the profanity rule out after about 15 minutes. So.
So what did Sean McKeever tell you guys? Anything cool?
I wasn't here for Sean.
He was at a wedding.
Yeah,
There
was two best men. At the wedding.
No single women.
No single women. He was free open bar, though. That was good. What else did Sean have to say?
We discussed the fact that people think he eats babies because he told them he does, and he seems surprised by that.
Yeah.
Which I thought was surprising to tell people.
He mentioned something about Dwayne McDuffie. He was saying Dwayne was...
he ate dinner with him.
No, he didn't.
Did they break bread over gravity?
They talked about gravity. And
did they settle everything?
I think so, yeah. I think
we discussed the sexual orientation of gravity. We found that not everyone was on the same page.
Yeah, we weren't all sure.
Should I tell them now that gravity is a Skrull?
Oh,
don't do it.
Oh.
Mike, did you hear that?
I told him he shouldn't have left Marvel. You leave Marvel, your characters become Skrulls. That's it. No more creator points for him.
Nice.
This is how it goes.
Norton will choke you.
He's already borderline losing his mind.
Yeah.
Doing this.
You missed Scotty Young. He went home already. He could only last about 14 hours, and then he had to leave.
He had a good run, though. Uh-huh. I was impressed.
Yeah.
Although, Scotty, you wind him up, and he can't stop. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He's a nice guy. I hung out with him in Toronto once. He's a nice guy.
That's cool.
Yeah, we got to get you and Scotty to work on a project.
I would work with Scotty.
That'd be a good combination,
yeah.
Honestly.
Yeah, I absolutely would work with Scotty.
I know he's in love with Dazzler. Or no, Cloak and Dagger.
Everyone's
that would
have
been funny
if
he
would
if that Dazzler would have stuck, and then like 6 months from now, Scotty gets a call about Dazzler, and he's like, "I don't even know who the fuck Dazzler is."
Who the fuck is Dazzler?
You know why?
No,
given
Cloak and
Dagger. My Xbox screen name was Disco Dazzler up until recently.
You know, given your love of street level characters, I'm surprised that you don't have a Cloak and Dagger pitch. That I know everyone. I know. That's what Joe Q is waiting for, is the right pitch, because there's always buzz about them, and when are they going to come back? And I'm surprised a guy like you doesn't have an idea for that.
No, it's on my list of things to do in Ultimate Spider-Man.
Yes, I remember you saying that.
Tandy Bowen goes to Peter's school. She's been running for class president now for the whole run of the... Yeah, every time you're in the hallway, you see a sign for Tandy Bowen, so she'll show up here eventually.
She's going to be like Reese Witherspoon in Election, basically?
Yeah, exactly. No, it's the school where everyone has superpowers. It's, the government's going to shut it down eventually.
Register the school.
Dude, I'm expecting a grisly death for Principal Suntress. I'm waiting for it. I
want. Oh no, you can. You can. We'll see how this edits.
Okay.
Here, there's no edit. What are you talking about? Edit?
You're really going to embrace. Yes.
Yeah, exactly. There will be no. All right, listen. What I said before, I need you to cut that out.
Yeah, this is going up in an hour. So
I actually heard one of you nod off during my Powers answer.
No, it's all right. No, I was going to say you're really going.
I heard a doze. I was just someone headbanging against the microphone.
You're really going to embrace, you know, really truly embrace decompression and kill Principal Suntress over like six issues, like a very slow.
Oh, like the temptation of Christ. Yeah, about that. Good flailing. I want six issues of flailing.
A quick scene cutback. To Principal Suntress, like, bleeding to death in the school basement.
No, it's going to be the debut of Ultimate Hate Monger, and it's going to be a prolonged torture scene like Hostel 2 or something.
Thank you, buddy.
Nice.
Fantastic.
Hanging upside down naked, putting stuff and things, whatever.
I'm all for it.
Not that I've given it thought, John.
No, never. Thank you. Hey, when's the Illuminati 5 coming out, man?
I don't know.
Is it okay? That's up to you. I just
see a lot of things happen once Mighty Avengers 6 comes out.
I see. Oh man!
So Mighty Avengers 6 comes out, then Avengers 7 comes out, then Illuminati 5 can come out, then a lot of things can start shipping.
I'm hip. Okay.
So it did come out. Your LCS just didn't get it.
No, that's
the correct answer.
That's not true.
So the cool thing is, like, once it's done. Like, all these other, like, everything else is done. So it'll go boom, 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 boom.
Well, that's cool.
April.
All right.
Well, speaking of Illuminati, you know, it just kind of occurred to me, because you were talking a little bit about, you know, before, about how much shit. You're one of those guys that you do get an inordinate amount of shit for
I do.
All the stuff. but then you look at, like, I think about something like the Illuminati 4, and it's like you pick a character like the Beyonder. And I mean, isn't that just sort of asking for it at some point? I mean,
Yeah, I told John this. Listen, every once in a while, I'm a big fan of, personally, I'm a big fan of stories with endings you can interpret. You know, I just like that, you know.
Yes.
But I realize that isn't, you know, that isn't the way to go every
single
time.
It's hard to put in Wikipedia.
In this instance, I thought there was enough material there to do that, which I know is annoying to some, and but still, you got to do what you feel you got to do, you know.
No, I thought it was good.
But regardless of that, I do not think that anyone involved in that book got nearly enough credit for the balls to
pick the
bring
Beyonder.
The Beyonder back in the suit. With the Jerry curl.
You're here.
A being that could appear.
2007, and we didn't do anything to that character to reinvent him.
I want an issue where you go back and explain why a character who could appear as anything or do anything still chooses to dress in the same manner.
I actually know why. No, you guys see, that's the thing, too. For some people yelling at me, I said, listen, I have recently reread Secret Wars 2. I read it. I want you to go back and read it.
You're a strong, strong man,
yeah.
Brian Bendis.
Go back and read it, and then shut up.
Say the fuck up. That's what
it
you
was
to
maybe
say.
The worst, heinous thing that's ever happened. It was closest comics will ever get to a Holocaust.
Wasn't that the issue? Because I just talked to Brian Reed a couple of weeks ago. That was the issue that you guys both kind of like tore the script up back and forth, right?
Well, yeah, we all had an explosion of ideas. We could literally have written a 25-issue maxi series of that issue, but realizing that there might not be a market for it. So we did want to get all of the best of the ideas in that one issue, so we just kept going back and forth to the point where it might have been me who said, seriously, we're insane. Because no one knows we were doing it but us. Like, Tom Reaver didn't know we were going back and forth 1,000 times on what is, you know, not that difficult an issue. And we realized that we were literally in some kind of weird, insane...
It cracked me up.
Is there any institutional resistance to the Jerry curl? For people, was there any push to
inner office memo
update the Beyonder to perhaps?
Well,
if
Jimmy Chung called and said I quit, none of that would have surprised me, because we literally said the Jerry curl's there, the Michael Jackson suit is there, he's still pimping it, you know, and I fully expected many people to leave the book, and I thought it was very brave of him to stick with it.
Well, you know, I'm. reading a lot of DC stuff. They're so good over there right now about pulling on legacy characters from DC and pulling a lot of the obscure characters. I think Jeff Johns does this just about as good as anybody. And I know that Sal and I grew up as big Marvel fans, and it's kind of fun to see you guys pulling some of these characters, to see like Brubaker, who was the bad guy he just used in Daredevil, the stone guy.
Yeah.
Tombstone.
Tombstone. But to
use, Tombstone.
And the Beyonder. And,
yeah, and Mr. Fear.
Yeah.
No, I've loved the Illuminati issues, and like I said, I liked that issue a lot.
It's
I loved the ending of it,
yeah,
and I did go, wow, that took a lot of balls. But at the same time, I'm like, damn it, man, can't you just duck and cover once in a while? And not
wait, like, how the fuck do you update the Beyonder's Wikipedia based on that issue? I can't update the Beyonder's Wikipedia entry based
on
the
all for stuff on Wikipedia. Good for you. Jesus Christ.
Don't worry. Jim Shooter will do it for you.
No, listen,
you read that Secret Wars 2, and you can't tell. I'm not saying that everyone who worked on that book was
stone.
Whacked out on coke and crappy Studio 54 80s coke, but I imagine if you were whacked out on Studio 54 bad coke, that's what your writing would look like.
It would read a lot better if you were
coked up as well. Yeah, I'm sure it was brilliant.
I don't know. I've never done coke. I don't know.
I could tell.
I'm just surmising.
So, we just sat through Blood Rain 2. So
seriously,
oh, yeah. We did commentary.
I did, but
it was hours 13 and 14, I think, or 14.
Did
and
you
14?
Did you bowl direct it?
Yes,
he did.
Yeah, you want to call it that.
Yeah, if you want to call it directing,
he was there.
And I think he gave
is Painkiller Jane in it.
His cinematographer must have been handicapped or something, because really the guy was incapable of holding a camera steady.
Different actress.
There were supposed to be vampires in it, but it turned into like a weird Western.
Without anything good about a weird Western.
Yeah, like a lot of everything was in shadows, and they didn't appear to have a steady cam.
It's called an art
film. Or an
film.
Editor.
It's an art film. Art film out of Blood.
Yeah, it's
really
I'm bad.
Fascinated by stuff like this, because you got to think of it from this way. Two things either happened. Well, what's the name? Like Kristen Loken? Is that her name?
Yeah.
Who was the original Blood Rain?
Yeah, Kristen
Loken. Okay, so either she got the call to be in Blood Rain 2, and had to make that decision that, oh, my God, my career's come to the point where now I'm getting offered Blood Rain 2. Or something worse happened, and they didn't call her. And she didn't get called to be in Blood Rain 2. And that's horrifying as well.
That's real scary.
We need to go a different direction with the character.
Well, they did.
Maybe she's outpriced.
Just saying, there's no good side of this.
They did have the redheaded kid from A Christmas Story, who Ralphie's nemesis, as Billy the Kid vampire.
So Billy the Kid with a weird
Polish
Oscar Wilde-esque like mannerisms with a horrible accent.
And an ascot.
Kind of like Horace Buckholz being in the Magnificent
Seven. As an office point of view, you got to understand, I was really flattered the stuff you were saying before about my work, but now I realize you guys like Blood Rain 2.
Oh, we didn't
it.
I actually liked it a lot more than you like our stuff.
Well, that was a different.
I think you got a lot more entertainment dollar out of it. So
hey,
I'm very sad now.
You know, I'm always happy when you keep us up to date with what's going on in the Hollywood Reporter and Variety. But I'm curious. Well, when you print those, when you always put on the message board, you always throw up the wire stories.
Oh, you mean when I illegally cut and paste other people's work and put
I'm
on the
sorry.
Board? I'm running some kind of newswire.
I have no idea. Well, in any case, your opinion of Denzel doing the taking of Pelham 1-2-3, it's like, I think they kind of missed the point. I mean, I think it's going to be a decent action movie, but half of the charm is seeing that it's Matthau as an action hero. For
a man who was born old.
Yes.
Yeah.
But seriously, I mean, that's...
Yeah,
that...
You know what's this on, like, Failsafe was just on TV last night? I went, wow, he's old then. Anyway.
Exactly.
You know what? Here's the thing. I'll tell you what's going on, and I think you might know a little bit about this, but in my nascent, baby-ish screenwriting career, I am very aware that there is a proposed strike about to happen.
Yes, I wanted to ask you about that. Go ahead.
Okay, so there's a strike about to happen, like it seems that people really want to strike, and what they want to strike over is legitimate, but it looks like they're really getting ready to strike. So meanwhile, like every actor or big director who's got any project that's even anywhere near ready to go even though he might not have been approved a few months ago, they're getting approved because the studios need to approve a bunch of stuff to make sure they have movies to show next year.
Right, they need to shove shit in the pipeline because there's going to be a work stoppage and it's going to fuck things up for like 6 months.
Like Leonardo DiCaprio had some like really expensive Michael Mann movie that they said no to, but because there was a script and a star and a director, now they said yes to it. Wow. Like really expensive, like $150 million for some period piece thing. I don't even know what it is, right? And like, you know, Will Smith directing The Karate Kid, and it's just crazy shit.
Was this affecting you in a good way at all with any of your films? In
yes.
Attaboy. Attaboy. Good. That's awesome.
I'll take it.
Fuck
but
yeah.
I gotta wait.
Okay. We'll just leave it veiled. That's fine. We'll save it for the Venice Day.
I will have news.
Yeah, well, I find it suspicious that Justice League movie that's been talked about for years is all of a sudden steamrolling ahead, regardless of script, actors, or director.
No, exactly.
it's really just like, you know, whatever's closest to being made, okay, let's make it.
That's
This happened a few years ago, and that's why Men in Black 2 is just not that great.
Yeah.
Because it gets greenlit, and they've only got like 70 pages.
Well, that's going to be interesting now, and I'm sure you feel the same way. Who works well under pressure in this case? And again, as you say, who's just going to throw out 2 hours of shit because they got no choice? They got to get it done.
Exactly.
So I think it's going to be kind of fun to see.
I would not reassemble the team from Blood Rain 2.
You would. You absolutely would.
If you have to.
For a biopic about yourself. Jesus. Hour and a half.
Oh, God.
So just to annoy Sal, I have to ask you if you ever finished watching all of the Gilmore Girls.
Oh, shit.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, baby.
How's that? I'm going to buy the box set when it comes out in a couple of weeks.
Did that show that you were saying was the next incarnation of the Gilmore Girls, did that make it, or was it just a pilot?
I heard it is a mid-season.
Okay. That's the Christine Applegate show.
I can see why it's a mid-season, too. I don't know where they'd put it on the schedule as they have. Like, there's no show like it. You know what I mean?
Sure.
It's a half-hour comedy about Parker Posey's barren womb. You got to put that on after 24? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, that's a good point.
I would. I'd watch it.
Yeah, see, there you go. You got to put it on as if you're smarter than a fifth grader or whatever the fuck they're showing. I don't know.
What's in the box?
What's in the box? Are you smarter than a child?
Is there?
And it turns out a lot of...
That's what I'm very fearful of, is what kind of shitty reality shows we're going to get next year.
Oh.
Like,
hell yeah.
That weren't even, like, the stuff they would not have approved this year, they're going to put on the air next year.
Like, guess a number.
It's like... It's like 30 Rock on Thursday night when they're talking about MILF Island.
How much change do I have in my pocket?
No, you know what? The MILF Island and they had in the movie, the TV set, they just won the ratings because they put on Slut Wars.
Oh, God.
Just a bunch of sluts and army fatigues, and it did a 19th year, you know.
Is there any reality show that you like? Did you even watch that On the Lot or whatever, the Fox movie?
No. You know what?
Yeah,
no.
Me neither, man.
I really, because there isn't one that I've ever watched.
I like Top Chef.
I feel like an empty hole in my heart when I see one.
Nah, you're much better off.
I like Top Chef.
Top Chef is great.
I like Top Chef because I like cooking, so they do cooking, and it requires skill, and it's not guessing like whether or not to take a box or not. So
my wife and daughter watch Top Chef, and I do watch like the first 5 minutes of Iron Chef because my daughter and I like to yell out the secret ingredients is onions.
Wait, is it the American one or the original?
I mean, the American one.
See, the thing I don't like about the American one is like occasionally they'll be like secret ingredient is steak, you know, like secret ingredient is shrimp. You know, yeah, it's like
you
have
a 5-year-old. That joke at any dinner is always funny. Always gonna laugh when you're like at Taco Bell and you go, the secret ingredient is salsa! And the kid will laugh till they fall over.
Right.
So,
I think
anytime you can get a laugh, you take it. So.
I think I talked about this on the show before, but my favorite one from the original one is with the guy who was a truck driver in Japan because there wasn't a restaurant good enough for him. And he won and then went back to driving a truck. because there still was no restaurant that was good enough for him.
How Cincinnatus of him.
The Al Columbia of IHF.
That's beautiful.
It impressed me. One of the judges said his food tasted like a spring morning.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't know what the hell that tastes like.
I've only seen one all the way through, but the guy didn't finish his meal and seemed very put out that the hour was up and kind of just stood there and stared at the host.
They kind of
stared back at him like, you didn't finish your fucking meal. And he's like, well, you didn't give me enough time. And then they're like, okay, see you next week. And that was it. It was weird. Oh, I may have dreamt that. But anyway.
Caution.
In the fever dream after the Bendis tapes.
Yeah. All right, now we're talking about Iron Chef, so I know you wanted to get off the phone.
The flag might be up. Well, dude, listen, I appreciate you taking time out of your night scratching and just coming on and saying hi, so thank you.
All right, I love you guys.
You're
very
good, man.
Emotionally.
Hey, and we'll...
And I'm very worried about you mentally.
I understand.
Well, all right, please get some sleep.
Well, we'll do a Bendis tape coming up in like a month or so. What do you think?
You know what? Yeah, give it like 3 weeks and we'll have shit to talk about because that's when everything's going to announce.
When the bomb drops, I will be bugging you.
All
right, dude. Thank you, buddy.
This is why Al Gore invented the internet. I'm glad you guys are doing this.
Good man.
Mr. Brubaker, I love your stuff on Captain
All right. Bye, Scott Hines. Bye.
Yeah, boy. Take it easy, man. Outstanding.
I love him.
That was good.
He cracks me up.
Oh.
All right.
We're still rolling?
Yeah, that's I mean, that's fine.
Really? Yeah. Didn't stop taping?
No, I think that was a fine point to wrap up with. All right, so thank you very much. I'm sorry we didn't have time for Sub or Flub, but we'll certainly try to put it on the next show. Oliver, any thoughts?
We did an informal one just about reality shows.
Oh, fuck, he's cool about it. He doesn't care.
Reality
he's cool.
Trouble with who?
Exactly. No, Scott will roll with that. No, what he's going to be pissed is, son of a bitch, the guy never comes on my show, and now he comes on this fucking 24-hour bullshit. So, yeah, Scott, that's the only thing Scott will be mad about.
I was going to ask him if he was willing to come on shorter podcasts. 20 minutes? Would you be willing to do 20 minutes?
All right, that's it for hour 17. So thank you, kids. Let's end it here, and we'll talk to you in an hour.
Take it all away to have never existed at all. There's no real reason why I was made. Nobody, nobody no more. Nobody, nobody no more. And there's nothing that I